minor tune. Number 42. Stand if you're able. 42. Lord, in thy presence here we meet. May we in thee be found. Oh, make the place divinely sweet, and let thy grace abound with harmony.
Jesus, we bow one more time in thy holy presence. Lord, we thank you for this another day that you saw fit to allow us to come into thy house. Lord, we thank you for this privilege, Lord. And we know that it is a privilege because, again, this is something that's been stated here over and over through the years, Lord, that you would have been just as just if you never allowed us to know anything about you. Lord, but we thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your good to us, that you did allow us to look into the things of you, Lord, that you might bless us with and grow us up with spiritually. Lord, we pray just now for these requests that have been lifted up here this morning, Lord. We pray again, Lord, we know it's been mentioned that you'd be with Sister Carol and Brother John. Lord, those of our number that's traveling, and Lord, Brother Dennis and Sister Dorcas as they're in Alabama. Be with them as they meet this morning. Lord, we pray for all the other names that's been lifted up here in times past. Lord, you know each and every need of thy people, wherever they are. And again, Lord, we pray that you'd see those according to thy righteous will. Lord, we thank you for answered prayers, Lord, for Sister Denise, Lord, and that you brought her through the treatment with what we believe to be very little discomfort. And Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to go with her and strengthen her and her family. Lord, we again, just pray that you'd go with us into the furtherance of this service. Lord, cause our minds to be set on you and nothing else, and that you might remove distractions. Lord, we pray for Brother Bill this morning as he comes, that you'd bless him to preach boldly. And Lord, just to preach those things that you've laid on his heart. And Lord, if we hear things that may step on our toes, Lord, would you give us thankful hearts? And Lord, give us the grace to realize that it's needful. And Lord, we just pray, again, these things with the forgiveness of our exceeding sinfulness. Again, go with us. Lead us as we go on. And we pray these things for thy blessed name's sake. Amen. For just a few minutes, if you turn to the, I believe it's the sixth chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John. Very, very, very familiar scripture. Said it often, and everyone's experienced if you've read the Lord's Word. Maybe not even very often, but especially if you've read it often, how sometimes you read over familiar scripture. Again, John chapter 6. You read over familiar scripture, and then sometimes you'll read it. It may be for the second time, might be for the 200th time, and something jumps out at you that maybe you've noticed, but maybe you see it a little deeper this time. The Lord's blessed you with a little understanding or give you a desire or an inkling or something to look into it just a little bit farther. And such is the case with a couple of verses here in this sixth chapter. Again, very, very familiar scripture. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 32, I believe, and go down through verse 40. And then just I want to look at a couple of verses. So beginning in the sixth chapter of the book of John, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth, let me start again, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. At the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now the two verses I want to consider this morning is 39 and verse 40. They almost say the exact same thing with the exception of one sentence. And that sentence being, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. That's the sentence that's not in the first one. But then he continues right on, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, we know that the Lord's word is written to his people and his people only. So if this everlasting had anything to do with eternal life, then there would not have been a need for two verses to say exactly the same thing. But the Lord, I believe in verse 39, shows us that this will of the Father, which when we go back to 37, it says, all that the Father giveth me, I believe this all is the same all that's being talked about over in Ephesians when it says that we were given to him before the foundation of the world. That is the all. But in that all, you have those that believeth. That believeth. And there is a word in this 40th verse that's it's contingent. It's contingent. Again, I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. May and shall are two different words. May and shall are two different. May means there's something that's up to us. There's something that's up to us. So when we walk in disobedience, or we choose to take ourselves out of the way, this is again talked about here often, we're not walking in a believeth state. Believeth is present tense. And when we're in that state, there is no everlasting life. It's been said here often that this everlasting has more to do with a quality, so to speak. So when we are walking in the Spirit, walking in obedience, then we believeth. That everlasting life is a tangible thing. But when we walk the other way, we take ourselves out of it. Another thought with this, or another layer to the onion, so to speak, there are also those that, for whatever reason, according to his purpose, those that have been or will be born again, but again, according to the Lord's purpose, are not blessed or don't have the same privilege that we do as far as coming into his house to worship. I believe that everlasting life is probably a foreign thing to them from the extent that we know it. But from the time for us that the Lord borns us again or regenerates us and he makes us alive to it, there's a choice we make. There's a choice. Do we want that everlasting life? Or do we just want to be raised up at the last day? Obviously we want to be raised up at the last day, but we don't have to wait for the blessing of being raised at the last day. Furthermore, if we're not believing, or if we're not walking in that believing state, we may be raised at the last day, or we will be if we're his, but we may be dead to it. We may not know it and can't enjoy the blessings of it. Just a couple of thoughts to consider. Come on, brother.